Let's fire it up. And by it, we of course mean the cow. Fire up the cow. Moo. Hi, moo, moo. Brian.
Hi, Daniel. We're back.
Oh, good to hear from you again. We're back, everyone.
It's been a long, hard week. It's been a long, long time.
I still haven't written my workshop reports.
Oh, no, Daniel. It's all right. There's lots of stuff that I haven't done.
Yeah.
Work-wise.
No one does anything, really.
At my work, we're supposed to keep track of our time every day.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And, yeah, I haven't been keeping good track of my time.
No. Just make it up. Make a machine that'll make it up for you.
But it's supposed to be a good thing, because in theory, if we keep track of our time, then they'll see how much time we're working on certain things and realize that we need more people or we need that thing to go away because the people
I get told that too
are impossible to work with, so they make it take forever.
Yeah. I get told that too, but there's a certain kind of work you do, which is like half work and half not work. And a lot of work gets done in those periods, but it's hard to call that time work.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I find in my work sometimes. Sometimes you just sit down and you kind of do something, which turns into something that your company is like, wow, oh, well done on this project, Dan. And I'm like, yeah. I'm like, how long did it take? And it's like, oh, well, if I added it up, you'd be out of business. But
yeah.
Just because I did it while I was listening to a podcast in my back room, kind of buzzed off red wine. Anyway, not like tonight. We're on a quest to comprehensively review all the different flavors of So when should we start? Have you got your moo cow ready? Are there any other milks that...
I already mooed, Daniel.
Oh, we're in. Hi, listeners, how's it going? One thing I wanted to say last week I didn't get a chance to say, Brian. We've got a confirmed listener who I know.
You already said that.
But I didn't say who. I didn't give them the shout-out.
Oh, you were supposed to say who it was?
We just went on with the rest of the episode. Then we did the whole other episode. We did a whole episode, and I just said, oh, we've got a listener who I know. I didn't say, hey, Jamie, thanks for listening. It really means a lot that a human being hears my voice and thinks it's good enough to listen to a second time and then maybe a third time.
Yeah.
So there you go.
Thanks for listening, Jamie.
Brian thinks you're cool, too.
We sincerely appreciate it.
No kidding.
And all of the listeners that we aren't aware of by name, we appreciate you too, just not quite as much.
Not as much as Jamie. Jamie has contributed more to my podcasting career than any other living human being.
Oh, Jamie, way to go.
Yeah, last Christmas he gave me $50.
You're a legend, like, hey, Jamie.
This is for your podcast. Buy a mic or something like that. And I was like, yeah, cool.
Wow. That's a bit of a... What do you call it?
A bit of a cool guy thing to do.
Hey, buy a
bit
microphone.
Of a good thing.
Hey, Daniel.
You're saying it's like an underhanded compliment or something.
This is for your podcast. Buy a microphone or something.
He didn't really say that. Jamie
voice.
Is my cousin. His cousin, Jamie.
Oh.
Yeah.
Wow.
Anyway, there you go. So, Brian, does it feel good to know that you're listened to by a human being?
It does. It sure does.
It sure does. Do you have many... How many of your friends listen regularly?
To Milkin' It?
Yeah, to Milkin' It.
I think zero.
Yeah. Cool.
But they're welcome to surprise me at any moment.
Brian's friends, if you're listening to this episode, congratulations, you got into episode 34 or whatever. Now is the time to let Brian know that you listen and appreciate what he does, and you think he's a very funny man. And
so,
the show Milkin' It is genuinely good entertainment to listen to.
So I'm looking at the dashboard of our podcast, and I can see that 56% of our listeners are in the United States. And of those 56%, 30% are in Washington. Yeah. And of that 30%, 58% are in Seattle. Which
that would be
makes me think that potentially there are people I know who are listening to this podcast, but I just don't know who they are.
Looking at podcasting stats, I think that those numbers, like, you could get, I think sometimes you can get one person listening once and it gets a bunch of numbers, because that's, I think, the experience that I've had. Or that I like to listen to podcasts that no one else is really listening to. I really enjoy small podcasts. And once I had someone notice me in their, like, podcasting numbers and go, "Hey, shout out to this random guy in Western Australia. Looks like he's listened 50 times in the last month." And I was like, "Yeah, I know I'm your only listener, but I haven't listened 50 times. I've probably listened 10 times." And then whatever weird, you know, my podcast addict application gets the RSS from some third party, which gets it from iTunes. And so that comes up as three hits, three listens or whatever.
Aha, interesting.
That's my theory.
Yeah.
Anyway, shout out to... Oh, no, I better not say them in case they feel offended that I've denigrated their podcast size.
Yeah.
But shout out to that good podcast I really enjoy, even though it's very small.
Shout
Thanks for
out
telling
to
me
them.
All about Tokusatsu.
And, yeah. All right. On to whatever it is we're doing.
Oh, are we ready to start? Have you got your cow ready?
I already mooed, Daniel, a long time ago.
Oh, you mooed. Hi, listeners.
This is The Milk Question. Starring
The Milk Question.
Me.
Starring
Brian C.
The C is for question.
And the
with
C.
A C.
Yes.
Daniel Milk. Brian Question and Daniel Milk.
Yeah, the K is for milk.
That's right.
And yeah.
The milk is for me. Yum, yum, yum.
Daniel, why don't we go ahead and spin the rotolactor to find out what we're going to drink today?
All right. Sounds good to me.
And as we learned last week, the rotolactor is now broken and silent.
Yep.
So we'll just let you tell us when it stopped spinning.
Will do. Yep.
I'll be over here doing something else for a while.
All right, ready? All right, it's slowing down. Here it comes, almost to a stop. And there it is. What's it say, Brian? Can you see it from down there?
I can see it from down there. Daniel.
What a fuckwit I am. What a pair of idiots we are. What stupid... What are we doing, Brian?
Why?
What did we just do? Why did I do that? Oh, God, I think of a new rotolector thing.
Oh, it's okay, Daniel. Daniel, today I will be drinking... Milkus.
Milkus!
For listeners who don't know, Milkus is a refreshing milk and yogurt flavor original carbonated drink.
Oh, it's carbonated.
This is original flavor Milkus. It's a carbonated
Yum.
Milk and yogurt drink. New feeling of soda beverage. It is made in Korea. It is.
I theorize that it's a ripoff of Kalpis.
Yeah. We'll see. Daniel, you
yeah.
today yeah. are going to
yeah.
be drinking.
Yeah.
Oak.
Oh, thick fuck.
DBC. You're getting that thick DBC today, Daniel.
Oh, I'm not in the mood for a thick DBC tonight, Brian, to be honest.
Ah, Daniel. Daniel.
Honestly, this is the wrong night for this. But
this
I guess I can. Cool, great. Cool. I've got the Oak Thick Death by Chocolate. Shake Me Thick. 425 mils in a shitty plastic container. Shake to thicken. Thick chocolate flavored milk. Milk, sugar, milk solids, cocoa, flavor, stabilizers, emulsifiers, salt, colors. That's it.
All right, great. Well, Daniel, why don't you shut up for a second? Because I've got something here. And this one...
Oh, is it a book?
This one is finally one that's maybe actually relevant to the podcast.
Oh, that's good.
And this one says, Daniel, many other milk and cream dishes also became popular. Here is Rufus Estes's recipe for a now-forgotten milk dish, baked milk. Put fresh milk into a stone jar. Cover with white paper and bake in a moderate oven until the milk is thick as cream. This may be taken by the most delicate stomach. End of the recipe. The French, probably the first to put milk in coffee, started doing so soon after the Turks brought coffee to Paris in the 17th century. But the Italian love of foamed milk and coffee began only in the 20th century. In Isabella Beaton's influential 1861 book of household management, she did not write about milk served with tea or coffee for breakfast, but after her death, revised editions of her book kept being published, and in the 1890 edition were recommended menus for a week's worth of family breakfasts. Every one included tea, coffee, or chocolate with hot or cold milk. Adding milk to chocolate had begun when the Spanish brought cacao back to Europe from the land of the Aztecs in the early 16th century and started serving hot chocolate drinks made with sugar and often other spices. Maria Theresa of Spain loved hot chocolate, perhaps her only solace while her husband King Louis XIV of France was sleeping with his many lovers. And it is said that the hot chocolate, or the sugar in it, was the cause of most of her teeth falling out.
Sure. Well, that just happened to everyone, right? Everything miserable happened to everybody.
Yeah. So there you go, Daniel. Sometime around early 16th century, people started mixing milk and chocolate.
Yeah.
And that's the beginning.
To make choc milk.
Yeah.
That's how Master's Dairy was born.
And many hundreds of years later, here we are podcasting.
Mm.
Who would have thought? Nobody.
Nobody. Have you ever seen the Glob Glob Gab Galab video?
No.
You should watch. It's only a minute long. You should watch the Glob Glob Gab Galab. I tried to fit it into last episode, but I want to start calling you the Glob Glob Gab Galab when you read out of a book, because you love books. And you're the shrimble dimble dimble double dibble dub dab. And you are the yeast of thoughts and mind.
Wow.
Give it a watch. It's good fun.
All right. Fine. Daniel, that means it's time for our first sip now.
I guess so. The Glob Go Gab Galab can be our scoring moment music. All right. I've shuck it thick. Ugh. Right. Okay. taken two first sips.
I've taken three first sips.
Oh yeah, well, I'm gonna take another one too then. Okay. All right. What's the segment now, Brian? How does this podcast work?
It's your timer, Daniel. You know, it's the chat timer.
Oh, the
timer.
Chat timer. Holy shit.
It's
oh, my God.
It's chat time.
It's chat time.
All right, Daniel.
5 minutes of chat time. Cool.
Cool.
Well, thanks for telling me about your boat to the island last week.
Yeah.
You know Washington?
I do know Washington.
In Seattle?
Well,
City of Washington in the state of Seattle?
No, Daniel.
Seattle, Washington, where you live. Do you have an art gallery, Brian?
We have we have the Seattle Art Museum.
Seattle Art. You got any good shit in there?
Yes.
Just for to what I mean is here at the AGWA, the Art Gallery of Western Australia, we've got I think it's hidden away down in the basement, but we've got a what's his face? Vomiting, smoking, stepping on his canvases, splash splash splash.
Jackson
getting it
Pollock.
All everywhere. Jackson Pollock. We've got Blue Poles by Jackson Pollock, and Art Gallery of WA was one of the first institutions to spend, like, whoa, big whopping millions of dollars on a Jackson Pollock work. And everyone was like, what the fuck are you doing? Art Gallery of WA, and then its value has increased exponentially since then, with the sale of many others of his works. And so we've got that, and we've got a couple of Lowry's, the Matchstalk Men paintings, which are kind of well known. There's probably some other cool stuff for the Art Gallery of WA. Is there anything famous at the Seattle Art Museum? Any famous paintings?
Not that I'm aware of, I don't think.
Stuff by famous artists?
Oh, here's a double Elvis by Andy Warhol.
Andy Warhol. People know who he is.
I don't know if that particular piece of art is famous. We have, apparently we have some colored vases by Ai Weiwei.
Oh, do you? Oh, I know Ai Weiwei. We've talked about Ai Weiwei before, haven't we?
We also have the Olympic Sculpture Park, which isn't actually in the... It's not in the museum, but it's a park near the waterfront.
I like sculpture parks.
And we have a big Alexander Calder statue there.
Oh, who's that? I don't know Alexander Calder.
Oh.
Alexander Family Sculptures.
Alexander Calder is a pretty famous sculptor who, actually, when I was in Australia in 2019, there was an Alexander Calder exhibition at the NGV.
Oh, this looks really cool.
He has a huge...
I like his spider from 1939.
There's a really famous... probably the most famous one is the big statue in Chicago.
Uh-huh.
Maybe. I don't know if that's... I don't know. I guess I just...
Oh, yeah. Sure. Looks like a Hatzegoptrix.
I know of that one from crashing into it a lot, playing Midtown Madness.
Yeah, sure. What the hell is Midtown Madness?
It's a video game where you drive around Chicago.
Oh, okay.
And there's races and stuff that you do. It's a racing game.
Okay, good, great. Yeah, this looks pretty cool. Alexander Calder. Yeah, some of his stuff looks pretty great.
Yeah, I don't know if... I mean, there's probably lots of cool stuff. I'm not, like, an expert on what we have in the Seattle Art Museum.
No. I was just curious if you had stuff that you can really brag about. Like, oh, here in the Seattle Art Museum, we've got a, you know...
Oh, there's a painting by Matisse. People know of
him. Ah! Yeah. Well, there you go. We don't have a Matisse, I don't think.
There's some Albrecht Dürers.
Oh!
There's a Francisco Goya.
Jurors you've got. Oh yeah, Goya.
Is Rembrandt van Rijn the Rembrandt of Rembrandt?
Yeah, totally.
Is his first name is Rembrandt?
Let's look it up. Yeah. Well, yeah, that's a good move, isn't it?
Why do we call Rembrandt Rembrandt? Is that his first name? Probably that's what he signed.
Rembrandt
his painting
van Rijn
for.
Would be like, oh, Rembrandt from the Rhine, right?
I don't know.
The Rhine River. I don't know.
I don't know.
If it is his first name, that's a really cool move.
Is the Rhine River in Dutch, in Deutsch, in the Netherlands?
His name is Rembrandt Hamanszoon van Rijn.
Yeah, so that is... That
Rembrandt Hamanszoon.
That is the same Rhine.
Yeah.
Huh. There you go.
Well, there you go. You got lots of stuff. You got a Rembrandt. You got a whatever the other ones you said.
Yeah, but I don't think there are any particular, like... I don't think any of the particular works are super well-known ones.
No, they're not the greatest hits. They're album cuts. They're from the B-sides. But that's still good.
Yeah. I guess.
Well, good. I think I got what I wanted out of this conversation.
It's a nice museum. But, yeah.
Are you allowed to go, or are the museums on lockdown?
I'm not allowed to go. Everything is locked down forever. Because we're America, and we'll never
I thought that would have meant you were not locked and everybody could do what you want.
No, we'll never do extinct. Enough to get out of lockdown.
Well, that's miserable.
It's just going to be a constant low level of 1,000 people dying of COVID every week for the rest of our lives.
Yeah.
Which will only be a couple years at that rate. Daniel.
Maybe with enough milk in episodes, there'll be positive social change.
We can push. Yeah, that's what we can advocate for now. Stay home, drink milk. Don't go out. Just drink milk at home.
Yeah, just drink milk at home.
Just drink milk at home.
You know what's pretty good at producing milk?
Cows.
Communal farms. Maybe in some kind of revolutionary socialist movement.
Yeah.
I don't know. Communal chocolate. All right. Yeah, all right, cool.
Are we ready for a scoring interlude, Daniel?
I'm ready for a scoring interlude, Brian.
You better be, because it's about to happen whether you like it or not. Okay.
Yes, please.
Listeners, we'll be back in a second. Or two. Maybe 5 seconds. Depends.
I love it when things happen to me whether I like it or not.
How many seconds we'll be back in depends on which part of the song I decide I want to clip out for the interlude.
Oh, if it's the Glob Glow Gab Galab song, it's going to be a pretty long interlude because you're going to want to hear quite a bit of what this guy has to say, listeners. Hit it, Brian.
I am the Glob Glow Gab Galab, the Schwabble Dabble Wabble Gabble Flibber Blabber Blab. I'm full of Schwibble Glibber kind. I am the yeast of thoughts and minds. Schwabble Dabble Glibber Glabber Schwibble Schwab.
How are your numbers, Daniel?
Oh, they're all done. I'm just reading about Rembrandt's death.
All right. I've just finished my numbers.
Cool.
Great.
I can't find how he died.
Probably being an idiot.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. This says that he was like, he lived way beyond his means and he went completely bankrupt and was super duper broke towards the end of his life. And then most of the people in his family died except for one little baby girl. And then Rembrandt died and he was so poor they buried him in an unnamed grave. And then as was the custom, 20 years later, the remains were destroyed to make room for more poor people.
Wow. It's brutal.
But it doesn't say how he died. I was going to do a little quiz with you, but I can't. You're Washington. Where is it? Yeah, the National Gallery of Art in Washington D.C. is mentioned in Rembrandt's Wikipedia as having a notable collection of Rembrandts.
Well, there you go. That's a different Washington, though. So.
Oh fuck! Oh fuck! I've fallen into the cunning American trap again.
Yep, we got you.
Oh, god damn it! Foiled, you tricky Americans.
Well, Daniel, are we back?
Of course, Washington, D.C., the District of Columbia. You live in Seattle, Washington State.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we're back. Hi, listeners. How's it going?
Hi, listeners. We got some numbers for you. Daniel.
Yeah, I got some numbers. I'll go first.
You'll go first with your thick DBC.
Yeah.
How's that DBC been treating you, Daniel?
I wasn't too sure. Listeners who can't figure out, Brian's making a joke about BBC sounding a little bit like DBC, but BBC is a porn acronym. You know, sometimes you can't be bothered when you want to look at porn to like fully type out what you want. So there's these little like three-letter acronyms, you know. MMF. FFM, ATM, all these things you can type in to see all the porn you want. Brian's referencing Big Black Cock. But this is DBC rather than BBC. It's very funny, Brian. I really appreciate it.
And it's a thick DBC, Daniel.
It is a thick DBC.
How's it treating your throat, Daniel?
Actually, very gently and lovingly.
Oh, that's good.
With a great deal of respect.
Nice.
I appreciate how I am treated by this thick DBC.
Well, that's good to hear. Do you have an essay for us?
Yeah, a real essay instead of just sexual innuendo. I actually do. This milk, this oak. You know, I hate oak, right?
Yeah.
I think I've wished death on members of the Oak marketing board in the past on this podcast towards the end of one of the episodes. This is really good.
This is really
outstanding. The Oak Thick Death by Chocolate is outstanding. I might just not be used to reviewing a chocolate milk, but this is really tasty. And I think it's not that I'm just not used to it, because I can put my finger on specifically what I like about this chocolate flavor, which this milk has in spades. This tastes like chocolate mousse.
Oh, amazing.
It's the flavor of chocolate mousse, and good chocolate mousse. I recently had some chocolate mousse. I love a chocolate mousse, Brian.
That sounds great.
Oh, a chocolate mousse.
I love chocolate mousse, too.
I recently had a chocolate mousse. Yeah, it's great. I recently had a chocolate mousse, and I was like, oh, this is substandard chocolate mousse. It's a little bit too oily. You know, the chocolate flavor is a little bit cheap chocolate flavored. This Oak Thick Death by Chocolate is a more pleasing chocolate mousse flavor than the most recent chocolate mousse that I had. And I love chocolate mousse, so this Oak Thick Death by Chocolate is delicious to me. This is obviously a sometimes milk. This is a dessert milk. This is not an everyday drinking milk. Oh, no, 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 no. This is a special occasions milk. It's very thick, and it is very strong flavored, and it's very rich. These are all, like, good things. The chairman of Oak is probably, probably really enjoying listening to me say all these things, even though he knows that I despise him. This is a really good liquid. It feels a bit different to what milk is. It's not going to get a high milkiness score. It's more syrupy. It's not as syrupy as the sweetened condensed milk of last week, but it is more syrupy than your average milk. And that's, I wouldn't expect anything less from the Oak Thick branded milk. It's really tasty. It cost me $2. Let me think really hard. $2.79, and it comes in a 425ml bottle, which is a smaller bottle than your average flavoured milk. But for what you're paying, you're getting a bespoke dessert milk, so... All right, I'll just do the numbers, shall I?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hit us with the numbers.
So, a milkiness is 39. It's, you know, this is not really what milk is. Tastiness, 88.
Oh.
It's good. That even Pip's sweetened condensed milk, as tasty as that is, this is a more well-rounded, less psychotic tastiness than sweetened condensed milk. I categorize sweetened condensed milk's flavor as a kind of delicious madness, which it has a kind of like unhinged, out of control edge to it. But this is much more of an acceptable, publicly acceptable tastiness, this DBC. The creativity, I think this is as creative as chocolate milk can get, because this is oak thick death by chocolate. That's what this milk is called, oak thick death by chocolate. And then it carries through with that promise. So I've given it a 45 in creativity. 61 value. It's less milk for your buck than a standard flavored milk, but it's also more of a bespoke thing. It's a special milk. So, and then, you know, $2.79 is not a big amount for a special dessert thing. The Gestalt, going down, feels good, it's nice to drink. That sort of slick thickness that some liquids have makes it nice and easy to just sort of suck down your gullet in a long rope of milk. 79 Gestalts.
Pretty
finally
good.
The Zeitgeist. I was all set to give this oak thick death by chocolate bottle, which I don't like. I don't like oak, the company. I don't like their plastic bottles. I was set to give it a 35, and then I read this on the side. Ooh, death by chocolate. What does that entail? Asked Hungry Thirsty. Well, clue's in the name, stupid. Oak thick shakes Hungry Thirsty dead, and then coats its outsides in a cocoa-infused casket. What the fuck does that mean? What is that about?
We've heard that before, Daniel?
Oh, did we? Okay, have we read that already?
I read that once.
I forgot all about it. This is an insane move. This milk is a murderer? This milk is a violent criminal? I don't like it.
Yeah.
Goes down to a 20 from me, the Zeitgeist. And that is all of my numbers. And now I'm going to finish my DBC.
What was the Zeitgeist? 20?
20. Or 20.
Okay.
That's good. I have drained the last drop.
Daniel, I have a question for you related to mine. Why did your Kalpis water get a 0 milkiness?
Did my Kalpis water get a 0 milkiness?
Yeah.
Oh, weird. Well, we'll have to listen back to the episode. Do you want to bring it up? Hang on, I should be able to find the episode. What episode number was it?
20.
20. All right. I guess it's the next episode.
It's the next one.
To come out,
yeah.
Oh, nice. I can't wait. Hang on, let me find it. Cool, I've already rendered it.
You're going to listen to the whole thing right now just to find out?
No, fast forward to the scores. Takes a little while to open. Sorry, Brian.
Daniel, I've just done...
Oh, wait. It's only going to be my... It's not going to be your audio. It's just going to be my audio.
Yeah. I've just done something, Daniel, that has allowed me to see the average score of our milks by type.
Oh, cool. Well done.
And if you're interested, we can talk about that at some point. All right. So, yeah, I'll hit up my scores then. Milkis, it is really good. I love it.
Fantastic.
I would describe it mostly like a cream soda, which I suppose... isn't surprising, since it is a milk flavored soda. It's got a little bit of a yogurty tang, not quite as much as I would like, but it's got like a hint of that Yakult flavor to it. So it's sort of like a upfront taste of cream soda with an aftertaste of Yakult, which is great. It's a real good, real good taste. I've drank the whole thing of this little can. It's a small little 250 ml can. But yeah, and it was a little bit refreshing, I guess. Easy to drink. Nice little carbonation to it. Just a good experience and a nice flavor. So the only real, I guess, poor score here is the milkiness, which it is not very milky. Although it did feel like it was a little more milky than Yakult, so I've given it a 29. And then tastiness, it's very, very tasty. Maybe a little bit sweeter and not as much Yakult as would be ideal. I think if it was a little more tangy and a little less sweet, that would take it over the top. But for now, it's an 89. Creativity, I don't really know how creative this is. But it's somewhat creative, so I'm going at 57. And then the value for this can, I only paid $1, which is pretty good. Which is about what I would expect to pay for something like this. And it tastes good. I've enjoyed drinking it. 79 is the value. Gestalt, as mentioned, I'm enjoying it, so 71. And then the Zeitgeist is a 62. It's kind of a stupid looking can, but also it's kind of fun. I don't really get it. There's like a, it's white, and there's like a little band of sort of bluish color painted around the middle, and then there's like a moon shape thing.
Yeah, I see.
And then there's a woman.
It's like a cartoon
hanging
character
from an umbrella. But the umbrella woman is a different kind of style than the moon. It's very confusing.
The font is interesting too.
Yeah. So 62 is the Zeitgeist, and I don't know, I kind of enjoy the weirdness of the can.
Me too, very much. And there's others with star characters instead of moon characters.
Oh, interesting. Different flavors.
Yeah, and this weird little cartoon character and the cartoon moon and then this weird, like, font. It kind of reminds me of, like, cartoons in the 90s, where it's all just like early 90s, where it's all just like a jumble, like maximalist, like, ah, everything's crazy and ugly and, yeah, like, what's that 7-Up character? 7-Up guy. Fido Dido. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, you know Fido Dido. I used to have a Fido Dido shirt when I was a kid.
Wow.
Yeah, I like the cans.
Yeah, they're kind of fun and weird. But I don't know that, like, it really would make me want to drink it looking at it. You're just like, oh, that's weird, and then you move on, right?
Yeah. Yeah, it's like appealing to some weird new generation of, I don't know, but young teenagers.
I think for a really strong Zeitgeist score, something has to make you want to drink what's inside the container.
Yeah. I think this whole the design kind of screams sugariness.
Yeah.
And it's like, and crazy,
it is
font of these cartoons.
It is
cartoons.
Very sugary. Which is its downfall is its sugariness, but it is very good.
These look like tough cans. These look like you could stand on one can. Or maybe if you put two cans on the ground, you could stand up on them? Or are they flimsy cans?
It's like a reasonably decent can. It's a normal-ish can, I would say.
Ah, does it look like a Coke can to you?
It's like thinner and...
Yeah, I'm looking at some which are like taller and thinner than a Coke can.
Taller and thinner.
Yeah, it's nice.
Maybe better structural integrity because it's more straight up and down.
Yeah, exactly. Like a Doric column, but, like a big black cock, Brian.
But Daniel, we don't have a score category for the structural integrity of the milk's container.
Not yet. Adding a new field down the bottom.
Oh, Daniel.
All right, so my oak.
We've got some scores.
A Death by Chocolate. Has a surprising structural integrity, actually.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, the cap at the top, it's a relatively thick, like it's a pretty big mouth opening at the top. And it is this sort of thick little column shaped.
So it's
carton.
A nice, rigid DBC that you've got there?
Yeah, it's thick. The milk inside is thick, but the structural, the column itself is a thick column.
It's rock hard.
It really has a good... Yeah.
Great thing.
Yeah.
Great.
So this actually, on the structural integrity test, I think this would score pretty high. This might get up into the 70s. Maybe a high 70s. Close to like a 78, 79.
Well, it would need it to beat out the Milkus because, Daniel, I'm looking at the totals.
Milk of the day.
And Milkus has currently the milk of the day.
Oh, very quickly, Brian. Brian. Leading just score. Before we hear which of our two milks is the milk of the day, you know. Can you quickly go over your numbers one more time? I wasn't fully listening.
Oh, my gosh. 29 milkiness. I know, you were listening to the other episode. 89 tastiness. 57 creativity. 79 value. 71
Brian's
gestalt.
Not wrong.
62 zeitgeist.
Oh, those are some consistently pretty high numbers except for milkiness. Aren't they?
Yeah.
Oak's going to have a hard time beating those numbers.
Yeah, it is. Do you want to know the totals, Daniel?
Yeah, let's see how it goes. See if it can make a pretty good play here in the end game.
Well, DBC has scored a 332.
Not bad.
And the Milkus has scored a 387.
That's not a terrible disparity.
No, it's not the worst.
Just like 50 points.
Yeah. Daniel, so I've tried to categorize our milks.
Mm-hmm.
And what I've come up, what
how
I've
did
just,
it go?
Well, so I've grouped them a little bit by type of flavor. So mint is our best type of flavor.
Yeah.
With an average score of 377 across the spearmint, the peppermint crisp. Although the peppermint crisp is a candy flavor, isn't it?
Yeah, but it's like a mint-flavored candy.
But that was a candy.
Oh, yeah, so you've got a separate... definitely a candy, yeah.
I have a candy category. All right, so I'll move that to the candy category. Now the mint score is 381, even better. I have one cereal, which has scored a 364. Honeycomb has a 349 across two milks. Chocolate, as a category, has 348. And strawberry, which was terrible, generally only has a 321, so not that much worse than chocolate on average, apparently. And stuff that's not really for drinking has an average score of 312.
This is unique. Brian's called it unique.
I've called some stuff unique.
One.
Unless you think
two,
I should put the camel
three,
milk as
four,
not really for drinking.
Five, six. Seven. Oh, wait, where's not really... Oh, I see. Oh, okay.
Is Kalpis water yogurt, or is it unique.
No. Kalpas water.
I don't know. We can figure this out later.
Yeah, it's hard to say. It might be. No, keep it in yogurt.
They're hard to categorize.
I like this unique category because there's how many uniques? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Only one of them is Brian's.
Well, maybe I should put the cereal in there.
Yeah, the cereal should go in the unique category. I like these categories, Brian.
Should the beer plain. Be? Maybe I'll make the beer unique.
If you want, I've got another thing which could... remember our favorite segment, listeners, at the beginning of the episode where we talk about stuff we've just put in our milk barrel that might come up later? I've just put some vodka mud shakes.
Wow.
Which I got from my local Dan Murphy's. I'm looking forward to cracking one of them open, I guess. Yeah, I bought a 4-pack of vodka chocolate milk.
Okay.
Should that go in the beer category? Vodka in some chocolate milk?
No, it'll go
it's
in the...
It's basically a beer, isn't it?
It'll go in the unique category.
Yeah. So, until I buy a second beer, I think the beer should go in unique.
Yeah.
Oh, well done, Brian. This was some good work.
Thank you. I was curious to see, because it seemed like the... It seemed like chocolate milk was performing really well on average, and it turns out that yes, it is. I guess Yoo-hoo is really bringing it down. And Yoo-hoo wasn't really milk.
What's the worst performing category?
The worst is strawberry banana. Which
wow.
is at a 223. There's only two milks in there, though. Second
yeah.
worst is stuff that's not really for drinking, which is the buttermilk and the sweetened condensed milk. And then banana
wow.
is third worst, which is tragic, considering that one of the banana milks is amazingly good.
Yeah, I'll have to buy some more. I'll have to source some more banana milks.
I have some Nesquik banana milk, banana flavor powder that I can add to a milk. So I've got
yeah,
some.
Yeah, that'll be great.
I've got
add
some
it to
real
a banana
milk,
milk.
And I've got some banana powder.
Then hollow out a banana and suck the milk through the banana straw.
It wouldn't be that hard to hollow out a banana, Daniel. You just poke a straw through it.
Literally use a straw and then pull the straw out. You've got a banana straw.
Yeah.
I'll do that. Maybe I'll do that right now.
Daniel, I have big news for you.
Oh, this is exciting.
Let's
I wonder what it is, listeners.
Let's wrap up the episode on this cliffhanger.
Okay. Will you tell me or do I have to wait another week?
We'll have to wait another week. So, Daniel,
yeah.
I recently put out a call on Twitter for people to tell us their milk stories.
Is this the news or is this a whole nother segment you've just started on?
Well, I guess I've created a whole new segment, which is milk stories. I put out a call on Twitter for people to tell us their milk stories. Remember I said we had no emails? Now we have an email, Daniel.
Yeah.
I've asked for milk stories and we have received one.
Wow.
We have a milk story in the inbox.
What mad individual would email a milk podcast with their milk story?
We'll find out next time.
You got me.
On Milkin'
It. You got
them,
listeners. I mean, Brian. You got, yeah, fantastic.
A new flavored milk review podcast. Yeah.
See you next week.
And
we ask again the milk question.
If you currently listening would like to share your milk story, the email is milkinitpodcast@gmail.com. And we look forward to hearing from you.
Yeah, totally.
Milk you later.